1 Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and many people on Memorial Day remember those who have fought for our country. Many, in fact, will probably thank those who have fought for our country. I even have in the past. One of my friends who is a former colonel in the Army, I thanked him one day for his service and in reference to Memorial Day. And he corrected me. And he said, I have not paid the ultimate sacrifice yet. Tomorrow is not about those who have served this country. It is about those who have laid down their life to establish and defend the freedoms that you and I hold dear. In fact, those freedoms that, to some extent, we have lost over the last few months with dealing with the coronavirus as governors and mayors and city councils and county commissions have ordered people to stay in their house, have forbidden people to go to the beach, have forbidden people to go to parks, have forbidden people from exercising on trails, have really moved against our freedoms and our liberty. And even today, as states are starting to open up, many of those states are starting to contact trace, which means they are going to track you everywhere you are. And if you have come in contact with someone who has been infected with the coronavirus, you may very well get a knock on your door and be forcibly taken to be quarantined. When we think about those who have died, though, we're going to actually list the various wars that we have been in America, and there are a lot of them. And in fact, one thing that is troubling is that so many wars have happened really in the last 20 years in America. And we've even had presidents who have campaigned to get out of wars, who have gotten into more wars and left us with more wars than we were in before they even started. But when we think about those who have died, some of the most memorable sacrifices that I can think of are in the American Revolution, those men who sometimes didn't have boots, who were walking through the snow with blankets wrapped around their feet, leaving tracks of blood in the snow. Sometimes, by the way, they also received no pay. You probably recall the famous painting of George Washington crossing the Delaware. What you may or may not know is that a very large portion of the U.S. Army, their enlistment was expiring right after that. If he had not made that move right then, right there, we may not be free here in this nation today. And then you think about a generation that was oftentimes called the greatest generation. Those boats that came up to the beaches of Normandy and dropped their their gates and the men who stormed out of those boats, knowing that very likely they would give their life so that you could be free. And not only so that you can be free, but there were people in Europe, people in Germany that were released from concentration camps because they gave their lives. In the American Revolution, battle deaths in the American Revolution were 4,435. In the War of 1812, we saw 2,260 soldiers give their lives. In the Mexican War, the number who died was 1,733. And by the way, there are more sometimes that died in the theater, the contest theater, or who died out of the theater, but we're specifically mentioning just those who died in battle here. In the Civil War of the Union Army, there was 140,414 that died. Of the Confederate Army, 74,524 that died. In the Spanish-American War, there were 385 people that died. In World War I, 53,402 soldiers died. In World War II, 291,557 died. In the Korean War, 33,739 died. In the Vietnam War, 47,434 died. In Desert Storm, Desert Shield, 148 American soldiers died. In Operation Iraqi Freedom, 4,489 U.S. soldiers died. And in Operation Enduring Freedom in Afghanistan, 2,356 U.S. soldiers died. You add those all up, and it totals 657,876 people, American soldiers, who have died to defend, to establish and defend freedom. Of those who we mentioned, those who died in the theater other than in battle, that was 308,800. Those who died in service during those times of war who were not in the theater, 230,254. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. These men that laid down their lives for your freedom and for mine, not only laid down their lives for their friends, they even, in some cases, laid down their lives for people who are enemies of the United States, people who burn the flag, people who don't respect our country. They gave their life so that even people that disagree would have the right to free speech. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And as I was thinking about this, and as I was thinking about the sacrifice of those who have gone before, and those who are even fighting right now for freedom for America, I thought about the sacrifice that they have given and how they have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could have freedom, so that we could have liberty, so that we can enjoy certain rites. I also am mindful of the sacrifice that Jesus has given to each and every one of us. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13, we read, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. But the hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Jesus was that good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. In what condition were we when he laid down his life for us? Were we people that were worthy of that? Were we people that deserved that sacrifice? Were we people that could even call him our friend? No, the Bible tells us that we were not, that we were actually sinners. In Romans chapter 5, verses 7 through 8, we read, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died just like the U.S. soldiers died, not only for those who loved them, not only for those who appreciated them, but for those who hate this country and who want to spit on this country and want to destroy the flag. Jesus died for those who hated him. He died for those who are at enmity with him. He died for those who are at war with him, for those who were sinners, who were violators of his commandments, even for those who were crying out, "Crucify him, crucify him." And even for you and for me, who years later would be born not righteous, who would not be born servants of God, who would be born as slaves of sin, and who would be born as people who violate God's commandments. And whether you were raised in a church, whether you were not raised in a church, you still had to come to a place where you repent of your sins and turn to God. And if you haven't done that yet, you have an opportunity this morning to come to him, to cry out, to repent of your sins, to turn from your wicked ways, and to accept the love of God for you. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. He died to save you. He died to set you free. In Ephesians chapter 5, we read, "And walk in love, as Christ also loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma." So he gave himself for us, and he lived as an example. You may recall that prior to being crucified, he took upon a towel and he girded that towel and he washed his disciples' feet. And he said, "I'm doing this as an example to you. If you want to be great, you need to be a servant. If you want to be a leader, you need to be a servant." And Jesus here gave us an example. He gave himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice for God, for a sweet-smelling aroma. We are to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, that we are to love one another and love him. And one of the passages that we see God's love prophesied about is John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't think it's by chance that when you go to 1 John 3:16, you'll see a similar message about God's love. In John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And in 1 John 3:16, we read, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So we know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. He gave his life for you and for me. And what are we to do? We are to lay down our lives for the brethren. We are to come to him, to repent of our sins, to turn from our wicked ways. And we are to lay down our lives for Christians, for those who are believers. We started out reading from John 15, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. We're going to go back to that chapter 15 of John. We're going to begin in verse 9 and read through 14. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I have commanded you. So we're going to look at this passage and look at some of the principles that we see from this passage. As the Father loved me, as the Father loved Jesus, I have also loved you. So as the Father loved Jesus, Jesus also loved his disciples. And not only his disciples, but also you. You that are listening, Jesus loved you. And he says, abide in my love. Now, that word abide, what does that mean? That means to live in. If you abide, probably, most people, there are people that are homeless, but that live wherever they are. But most people have a home, maybe it's an apartment, maybe it's a duplex, maybe it's a home where they live. We are used to that abiding in that home. Jesus says that we are to abide in his love. In John chapter 8, he also tells us that we're to abide in his word. And here we'll see that abiding in his word and abiding in his love really are synonymous. So when we talk about the love of God, sometimes people, and you may recall the time where I was actually in jail for peacefully protecting preborn children. And I had gone to court one day and was brought back late, and I was kept overnight in Jack Dorm. Jack Dorm was Dorm J, but they called it Jack Dorm. And it was like an intake dorm for the Milwaukee House of Corrections. And I was there, and typically you'd be coming in with with other people, and then they would send you out from Jack Dorm to the various locations of the, it's kind of like a county prison, where you would actually go to, and they kind of divided people up. The most dangerous criminals would go to certain places in the jail, and people that were not quite as dangerous, people that weren't charged with as dangerous offenses, would go to other jails, other parts of the jail. But I was there by myself, and there was also two homosexuals that were there. Most of the homosexual men that are there are actually prostitutes. They sometimes dress like women, and they would perform lewd acts upon men, and sometimes even in jail they would perform those lewd acts. And I remember these two, and I was, you know, there was 35 bunk beds, so 70, probably about 70 beds. And so we could have really been spaced out. But I was in one bunk, and these two were in the next bunk, and they were talking about their filth and their debauchery and their sin. And after about 30 or 40 minutes of this, I couldn't take it any longer. And I looked at them and I said, "Don't you understand that what you're talking about is an abomination to God?" And one of them looked at me and said, "God is love." Now, it's true that God is love, and we've talked about this before, but God is also a God that is righteous. He's a God that's holy. He's a God that takes vengeance upon the wicked. So when we think about what God is, and when we think about the love of God, sometimes we don't realize what that love means. But this passage actually tells us what the love of God means. In verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." So he's just said, "Abide in my love." Now he says in verse 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus had kept the commandments of his Father and abided in his love, and we are to keep his commandments, which means that if we keep his commandments, we are abiding in his love. So we can say we love him, but if we don't obey him, then we know that the love of God has no place in us. And you'll find that, I believe, in First John. In verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Think about that for a minute, that we love one another even as Christ loved us. How did Christ love us? Christ was spit upon. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was scourged. He took stripes on his back for your healing and for mine. He carried his cross and fell along the way with the full weight of that cross driving him into the ground. He was taken to Calvary. He was hung on that cross. And he died, very likely of a broken heart, with a weight of sin, of your sin and my sin. Dying for who? For the righteous? No. He died for sinners. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." This is how Jesus loved us. And this is how we ought to love one another. And sometimes, by the way, we're not lovely. Sometimes we're not lovable, but we still are commanded to love even those who are not lovely, even those who are not lovable. verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So here we see again the love of God and friendship with God, with Jesus, being linked to obeying his commandments. Now earlier, I mentioned all of those who have died in the various wars for America. But I did leave out one war, that is the war on preborn children in this country. It's a sad fact that if you add up all the American soldiers who have died in war, even if you add up those who have died in battle, those who have died in the theater, and those who died out of the theater while we were in war, it will not total the number of preborn children who have given their lives each and every year since abortion has been legalized in America. Why have they given their lives? So that women can maintain their figure, so that couples can maintain their financial status, so that they can maintain their vehicle, so that they can maintain their home, so that they can have all the pleasure without the responsibility. We need to repent in America for our sins. We need to repent for allowing this shedding of innocent blood. We need to come before God and repent for violating his commandments. If we love him, we will keep his commandments. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, the ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, or you can give us feedback and make a donation.
First Timothy 2 instructs us to pray for those who are in authority over us. In America, we not only have the right to pray, but also the right and responsibility to vote. How do you know which candidate will uphold biblical values, though? Board of Votes Values is currently seeking volunteers to help produce a voter guide in your county. If you are interested in helping voters vote their values, visit www.floridavotesvalues.com and send us a message. Again, that's www.floridavotesvalues.com.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus, my Jesus, and we cry home.